So what's helped me to see the difference between mindset shift and unshakable inner peace is, what are the practices or focuses that I can do that make me shift my focus to something that feels better or sounds better? But unfortunately, if your frequency of inner peace or stability of who you are is not strong, it's going to snap back the next time something, you know, unexpected happens.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Life After Corporate. And today we are talking to Rachel Jane Gruver, who is the best-selling author of Powerful and Feminine and Divine Breadcrumbs. She's the founder and CEO of the Awakened School, which offers cutting-edge programs to help those in their second or third act of life. Hello, I'm raising my hand. To awaken their purpose and find meaning. Leaving behind her full-time singing career in Australia, I'm only slightly jealous of that since I can't hold a tune, she moved to the U.S. to become a speaker, teacher, and author. And the fundamental aim of Rachel Jane's programs and presentations is to show you the way to both lasting inner peace and aligned outer purpose. And that's what we'll focus our conversation on today. She is the creator of the Art of the Feminine Presence training, which has been taught worldwide by herself and more than 300 certified teachers. So today, I'm super excited to have you here, Rachel Jane. Welcome to Life After Corporate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have this conversation. And we met because you had a very articulate and persistent person who is looking for podcast opportunities. And it was the best podcast pitch that I had ever received. And I thought, wow, this is so important because everything that all of our listeners want is on the other side of mastering their inner game.
Absolutely.
And we rarely talk about this conversation. We rarely see the inner blocks that are standing in the way to everything that's available to us. And so I am super excited to understand your point of view, what you train in your programs, and how our listeners can get out of their own way in the pursuit of their purpose and the pursuit of the ultimate happiness and making impact. So I'm excited for our conversation.
Right. Me too. Yeah, and I feel like I'm maybe somewhere between the second and third act of my life, you know, even though I've been in business for myself for a while. I think it's always an adventure of recreating oneself and what feels more aligned now, you know, as the career grows.
Yeah, every day is an opportunity to begin again.
Yep.
So what were you doing before you discovered the path that you are now on?
Yeah, so I was working in the nonprofit realm. I was working with a company that was actually for a spiritual teacher / personal development guru, an author, speaker, that kind of thing, at a time where I had just come from singing, you know, and before that were like house cleaning. So it wasn't really in the works to think I was moving into that employment opportunity, thinking that I was going to end up doing it. So when I started, I was on the customer service desk, and then I started kind of trying to find ways that I could give to the organization. But about halfway through, it was about a 6 to 7 year stint there when I first came to America. It was probably about halfway through that I started getting the sense of, yeah, there's something after this. There's something after that that's really my own business. And I had done my own business in a way with the singing, because you've got to find gigs and all of that. But I'd never thought of myself as a business owner. You just think of yourself as more of a singer or a cleaning lady or something, and you hopefully get some gigs. And so thinking through that when I was employed, am I going to make the leap? Am I going to make the jump? Was terrifying when I think back to it, of how do I do that, and is that going to work? But I would like to say that I jumped courageously, but I did not.
Love your honesty.
I would love to say that, but no, I actually, you know, got hit by the 2x4, the spiritual 2x4 of like, you've got to move. And I was in England at the time on a trip with the company, and I hurt my back very severely. I couldn't get back for months, even on a lie down stretcher bed. I was really in trouble. And for a couple of years after that, I couldn't move very well. So that threw me out of the job. That's why I call it the, you know, proverbial 2x4. So I'm now trying to start my own business, but I'm crippled. I can't hardly move. And so I started my coaching business from my bed, because I was Australian and I only had a visa to work in America for them. So I had to find a new way of working and find someone to sponsor me for my own business. It was like a really difficult miracle to create, mm-hmm. but I was so committed to it because I really wanted to stay in America. And I really wanted to do personal development work, but it was under extremely difficult circumstances.
So how did it hit you? Because I can imagine when you're flat out on your back and you can't physically move or go anywhere, that you end up spending a lot of time with your mind. And so I'm very curious how the path unfolded for you, because you didn't plan on going out on your own. Like, what was that process? So physically, you were hit by the 2x4, but spiritually, how did the calling come to you? I think people are really curious about how to find purpose. And yeah. Is it just one day you wake up magically and you see a new path forward? Or what was the journey like for you?
Well, I think there's two things. So if I think back to halfway through that employment period, it was, what am I going through that I really sucked at? I had no clue about, like, I just didn't understand. And now I'm understanding it. My life is completely different, because like, how can I serve people in that way? And some major things were happening at that time, particularly around the feminine and my disconnection to the feminine and the way the mind was working and all the personal development work and spiritual development work that I was doing. I was having huge changes. And so this, I could do this, was coming from my biggest challenges to my biggest awakenings, in a way, which I find a lot of time happens. I know for you too. It's like, I'm changing and now I want to help someone else do the same. So that was one. And the other is to really zero in on enjoyment over a feeling of service, which is kind of the opposite, you know, to how some people do that. It's like, I've got to be of service. I've got to find a niche market. I've got to find, you know, what do people want and all that kind of thing, which is right. But I'm thinking, like, what brings me most joy? And I remember doing a practice for myself, just kind of going through my life at the moments, like 3 to 5 moments, that I just felt so alive. I felt so connected. And they were all about me being on stage. Mm. They were all about me helping people feel their emotional self and their potential self, even though one was talking to a vocal student and one was on stage singing a country song and the other one was, you know, about doing a workshop that I had done earlier on. They were all different things, but it was this emotional connection, getting people to feel, getting people to wake up, getting people in their body, getting them to feel their potential that was throughout. So I knew then that, okay, it's about the what have I changed and what do I really enjoy?
Mm. And do you feel like you had more confidence in getting up on stage in front of people because you had that background in singing and performing? So was that a natural segue?
I again would love to say it was, but it wasn't. I could sing to anyone, but if the guitar guy broke a string in the middle of the set and says, oh, just speak to them, Rachel Jane, for a few minutes. I was, you've got to be kidding. Like, fix the guitar string now. I do not want to speak. The first time that happened, I always joke, it's like, I literally, what came out my mouth was, you know, how's it hanging, people? Like, I just did not know what to say. So when I wanted to do and was getting called to being more of a speaker or more of a workshop facilitator and coach, I went to Toastmasters because I was so scared of speaking, and I'm a pretty strong perfectionist. So I don't want to have any ums and ahs and all of those things. So I started there and found out that I did have a natural talent. I just was scared about it, you know? And so after a few years, I got more confident and, you know, you just have to do it, don't you? You just got to get up and do it.
You have to do it. You know, you have to get past that feeling that it's so uncomfortable. I mean, I remember my very first webinar, and I pasted pictures of all of my friends and colleagues around my office. Yes. So I could feel less alone. I could feel like I was in a room of friends, and that's who I was speaking with.
Yeah.
But you talk about this gateway to unshakable inner peace, you know, and we're talking about how this leap to entrepreneurship, no matter how capable you are in whatever you're doing in your life right now, just will kick up all your stuff. You know, you'll have new insecurities. And we just talked about confidence, really, because confidence comes from the doing of things that you haven't done before and that you're a little bit of afraid of, but you do them and you survive, and maybe you'll likely even do a great job at it. But this whole inner peace comes from a different place. So talk to us a little bit about where that comes from and how we tap into it and how that influences our success as entrepreneurs. Yes.
Well, it's so true. It does bring up all that stuff. And I think in business, inherently, there is this sense that I could lose it at any point. I might go out of business at any point. And, you know, we got a great team. There's a team of 10 of us full time. We've been doing this for a long time. It's not like it's going to end tomorrow, but there's still that kind of sense in the field of like, what if no one comes next year? You know, what if all of this dries up? So within that, that keeps knee-jerking the mind and the emotions to be like, oh, this, I could be damaged here. I could lose everything here. And so I was working with that a lot, as well as my confidence to do it, but just the security and the safety and all of that, which doesn't come so much with the entrepreneurship journey as you're starting. Nowadays, I think it probably is equal because people can get let go at any point as well. It's not as secure as it was in the past. So what's helped me to see the difference between mindset shift and unshakable inner peace is, what are the practices or focuses that I can do that make me shift my focus to something that feels better or sounds better? Like, you can do this, you know, like a better mindset, or somebody else has done this, and so it's possible for you. And that mindset shift is just someone focusing in a different direction. But unfortunately, if your frequency of inner peace or stability of who you are is not strong, it's going to snap back the next time something, you know, unexpected happens. So I was noticing that if the external experience of my business was going well, I was super happy. If it wasn't going super well, I was very stressed. And I wanted to get off that roller coaster. And so what happened is, through the spiritual journey, because there's personal work and there's spiritual work, they're very different. They're connected, but they're very different. I didn't understand how different they were. So I was doing a lot of personal development work, mindset, you know, communication, being a better leader, all of those things, thinking better. But the spiritual work, to me, is receptivity to, I'm not the person who I think I am. I'm not Rachel Jane Gruber, who has an ego and is running this business. The essence of me is undamageable. It is unshakable. I can't corrupt it. It just always is. And, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, even though I was a relatively happy human, and most people would say I was an old soul and, you know, grounded, I was still playing that band-aid role of like, just think better and it will all be fine. And then it would snap back, or I'd be, you know, very conditional. So once I started working more on my receptivity to experiencing the infinite aspect or the infinite dimension of myself and stabilized that, because I think everyone who's been on a personal or spiritual journey has had those moments of, wow, I'm not what I thought I was. And I was having those, but they kept coming back to, no, this is who you are. You're a business leader and you need to write this email right now and you need to do this. And if you don't do it well, you're going to lose your business. So when I started going, okay, this is where I need to stabilize my mind, my heart, and my gut and my body to be living there, then everything changed. It's not anymore a mode of trying to change my mindset. It's just going back to that place, and no matter what happens, it's all really fine. And I could not say that a few years ago. I can say that now. So I know there's a lot wrapped up into that, but I found that it helpful to see personal development practices and spiritual development practices as separate, and how they then come together.
Yeah, I think that's very important. It's almost like the way I think of it is you can't put an affirmation band-aid on a lack of just trust or belief in forces that are bigger than you, right?
Yes.
That are bigger than your mind. And so that's kind of how I think about it, because I often tell my clients that if you think it's just your humanness that's going to generate success in this business, that you can just muscle through it, you're sadly mistaken.
Yes.
Because absolutely, this journey of entrepreneurship, and I'm sure it happens in corporate as well, but I think, you know, the journey of the entrepreneur is that you're creating something out of nothing and you've never been in this place before. And there are some role models for you, but mostly this is a personal development journey. It's a spiritual
yes.
journey
yes.
and that your heart will crack open and you'll be forced to see yourself in a light that you've never seen yourself in before.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to go to that place, and I know this is why we were so connected without ever meeting each other mm-hmm. or speaking with each other before, if you're not willing to go to that place, then you'll miss out on the joy and yeah. the true self-actualization of this journey. So I'd love for you to unpack that receptivity. Right? So yeah. the ability to surrender, really, surrender control and receive.
Exactly. Yes. So I think that's one of the first things that we hear, it was for me in my development, is you need to surrender. You know, you need to just let go, relax a little bit, because there is a universal infinite force at play, whether you call that a divine matrix where we're all interconnected, or God or source or whatever you call. It's undeniable in my experience that that is what's happening. I'm not running the ship here in my own small mind. And so I started to kind of get more trusting of that over time. And it started coming into play. But what's kept holding me back around the unshakable inner peace is I didn't understand the physical and energetic component of being receptive. I knew, oh, just surrender to this moment and the best thing might happen and da 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 da. But when I really got and started doing the Art of Feminine Presence work, which is very physical and very energetic, that I realized, oh, receptivity spiritually is, am I receiving this infinite universal energy through my head, through my heart, through my gut, through my whole core? Because if I become more receptive, and the opposite word would be contracting, so people get a contracted head and a contracted heart and they constrict against their life force. But if I can open, then my mind won't conclude anymore. So if I can be very receptive in the center of my head, it doesn't assume, it doesn't conclude, it doesn't judge, it doesn't do any of these things. The heart doesn't feel betrayed. It doesn't feel hurt. It doesn't do its drama thing, which I was very used to doing early on. And the gut doesn't control. I need to control this experience. So once I got that, I did a lot more physical energetic work to train my system to be receptive. And when that happened, I didn't have to be doing any change of affirmations or what have you. I'm in an experience of my mind has gone quiet. And that was, it was about 5 years ago where the mind went silent. I can still pull up the mind to direct and do things. But as a business owner, when you're going through this path of not just personal, but your spiritual, it can be discombobulating. Because I remember when that burst happened, I don't hear anything. And it was going on for months, nothing, just peace. And there's no commenting, no critical. But then there would be these kind of small threads of like, well, am I going to ever want to do anything again? Is my ambition going to come back? Like, what's going to happen? You know, am I going to lose my... And it was just those little threads of that. But, and it has come back, but there was a time that my body and my energetic system had to just kind of get used to being in a receptive, relaxed space all the time. And how do I make money doing that? How, because I was so used to pushing and so used to efforting.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that. And I think at this point, our listeners are thinking, oh, how do you get there? Like, what is the very first step? Because, you know, I started looking into A Course in Miracles and I stopped at lesson 45 because it said everything to me. It's like, God is the mind with which I think. And I was like, oh, we share but one mind. So I'm not alone in this journey and I don't have to muscle through and it's not based on what I think. And that led to this overall feeling of trust, you know, and I think the most angst that new entrepreneurs have is around the finances. And trusting, you know, I'm on this path, especially those who've come from the spiritual side and feel like they're fulfilling a purpose. You get really worried about, am I making enough money? Am I doing the right things? What if I don't make enough money? What if I have to go back and get a job? Right. And that kind of blocks the receptive mode, right? So you're kind of clogging up the work. So how do you get in that space of receptivity and peace? What do you do?
I mean, I go so many places. I got 44 practices that we teach in Art of Feminine Presence. So there's a lot of things that I could say about that. And I can share other ways to get free practices from us. But to start, it is understanding that when the mind thinks, so you said, what was the statement of Course in Miracles? When God thinks.
God is the mind with which I think we share but one mind.
Yes, God is the mind that we think. So I think of it as, yes, this infinite loving presence looking through my eyes and looking through my heart and looking through my earth suit, as I call it. And if I am open and receptive, I am seeing with God's eyes, which is why I love everybody. And even if they frustrate me, it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter to that universal eyes. But if I go toward a more contracted dimension of seeing, like my witness, oh, I'm seeing that I'm not thinking very positively today, or I'm realizing that I have fear coming up about money, or you know, that part that we have as entrepreneurs, we're at least aware of our thoughts and aware of our emotions. But that's a very contracted version of seeing. It's better than thinking you're the thoughts and getting freaked out about it, but it's still a psychological process of our personality of aware of that. And then, of course, we've got an even more contracted version of that, which is the thought and the fear and the what have you. So even though I am God's eye seeing through, it really depends on what dimension of awareness I'm in. And most of the time when someone's running a business, they're in the dimension of, you know, ego, or I'm aware of the ego and I'm trying to make it better and I'm trying to fix myself and I'm trying to do all of that. So then the practices become, how do I then continue to see with those universal multidimensional eyes and stabilize that? And so with receptivity, what I realized is that if I can be receptive in mind, heart, and body, I will get moved closer to a gateway or a portal that can suck me through into this, like, what just happened? There is no mind. There is no that. So one thing that everyone could do right now and just listening is focus on one part along your vertical core. Maybe it's the center point of your head or the center point of your heart. You can choose one and just notice what's happening there. How much tension on a scale of 1 to 10 am I feeling? And I know a couple of days ago we were having some issues with contractors and things like that. And Dada said something to me, my husband, and my stomach just went, ah, I felt sick to my stomach with that news. So you can go, okay, my stomach's a little tense, or my heart's a little tense, or it's very open. And then start to think of that center as like the aperture of a camera. And you're just going to open it a little bit and a little bit. So some of you that are not driving, you might want to close your eyes and do this. But I do that with the center point of my head a lot, is if I'm back in my skull, not in the front eyes, and I just think of that aperture just opening. And you could tell me, Dev, what happens to you when you do that, maybe in the head. You can go from front eyes, like, okay, I'm seeing Rachel Jane here because you can see me on Zoom and you can see what's in the room. And if you're very frontal looking at things, which is where most humans are, you see the room a certain way. And then when you come back into the central channel of your head and open the aperture, just imagining it opening, you see in a different way. You perceive things differently. Can you feel that, Deb?
Yes, I can. And in my own meditation practice, I go through a different channel, which is hearing, you know, and grounding in the fact that I'm hearing. There's no attachment or labeling to the hearing. But if you open up your hearing, there's a symphony of sound that is a universal, you know, kind of grounding force that opens you up beyond the physicality of where you are to an oral space of inclusion, you know, or physically. Exactly. You could just go to Taos, New Mexico and just stand there and see the sky above you. And then you get that same feeling of, you know, being a speck in the universe, that everything is so much bigger than we are here. So I don't want to get too esoteric. I want to bring it back to...
But that's really important. Can I just comment on your two things? Your meditation when you're hearing, that is naturally putting you in a receptive state because you're not focused on what you're hearing. You're focused on the hearing. And if people can't do that and make that switch that you do, they're never moving to unshakable inner peace. And then the Taoist definition of like just being there. One person could be there and go, "Oh, I'm a speck in the universe," but that's very different to receiving the experience of the sky.
Yes.
And so all of my work's about getting people out of the conceptual head and into an experience of receptivity. And those two things that you do are exactly, you know, two more of ways you can do that.
Yes. It's important because there's a level of awareness, and you mentioned it before, you know, to be aware of our thoughts. And I would venture that 80% of the population isn't even aware of what they're thinking when they're thinking it. And it's this unconscious thought process that's really habits and beliefs and all those things that are driving your actions.
Yeah.
And one very practical thing, one of my clients asked me this last week, "So what do I do with comparison? I'm always comparing myself to other people and feeling like I'm coming up short." And I think that's one place where the mind kind of plays tricks on you, you know, or the mind hooks you into a place where you're limited in your own definition and capability of what's possible by looking at someone else's success instead of opening up to your own. But what would you say to that person who is stuck in that place of comparison?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. One is I see the practice, I call it a trilogy of practices because I'm so experiential and, you know, practical. And if someone's not doing all three with something like this, it's not going to unwind fully. It will just be, okay, I've got this nice strategy to do when I'm comparing and I come back to presence, but I'm still going to keep popping out, you know, year after year if I see someone who's better or what have you. And I had huge comparison issues. So it's a good one to bring up. So essentially the trilogy of practices that helped me to drop comparing when I was a comparing monster is your personality structure. So I use the Enneagram a lot. So I'm a type four, and the emotional habit of a type four is envy and comparing. So I had it more than most. But to know that, to know how my personality structure got pulled together and that the focus will knee-jerk into comparing was so helpful to me, to know that that's the personality. So now if a comparing kind of starts tweaking in, I say to myself, that's my four Enneagram. Isn't that cute? It's a very different way of doing it. And then it just pops out. There's no hold. I can't compare myself. So that's one. The second of the trilogy is somatics, which is that internal space of the body. Because if I'm looking at someone and comparing myself to someone, my heart starts closing in. I feel less good about myself. And I can't just kind of stabilize in an open, relaxed space physically. So my nervous system starts doing its thing, which sends signals to the brain. And now I start thinking all these inner critical thoughts. So if I'm not doing that somatic experience, it's not going to stick. And then the third is spirituality, which is receptivity. If people don't like the word spirituality, that's fine, but being more receptive. And so if I can see that I have comparing as a mental habit, and I can work with relaxing the body as I see it's happening, and become more receptive, I am moving into a different dimension where comparing can't even happen. If I'm only doing one of those things, I'm kind of still stuck. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does make sense. And, you know, the recognition and the understanding of, oh, isn't that interesting? Or just being curious. Oh, isn't that interesting? I'm comparing myself. Oh, you know, there I am again. And not having the attachment to that.
Yes. And the way to not have attachment, I find like the language is important. So I used to say, oh, there I am again. But that I is making me think that that's me. And I have to change me. I have to stop comparing because I'm comparing. Where now I say, I'm watching the psychological structure called my Enneagram. Or I'm watching the mental habit do this. I'm watching that, not I'm doing that. So definitely watch for anyone who was doing that like I was. See if you can change the language around I, the God's eyes, I'm watching the psychological process in action. How interesting and how cute.
How interesting and how cute. You know, I think what would be really serving our audience right now is a story of perhaps someone that you worked with that has gone through your program, and what has been the outcome for them? You know, what was the process? Just quickly, a quick story of someone who was sort of stuck in their humanness and trying to muscle through, and you know, what has transpired since they have gone through your training and have tapped into that receptive mode.
Yeah, well, the person that's coming up to my mind, her name is Jennifer, and I think she's coming soon because she escaped corporate and went into a business when she met us, I think, a couple of months after she jumped. Mm-hmm. And at the Awaken School, we have a lot of different programs. So some people find us through our Awaken Business School where they're learning to write their book and become great speakers and that kind of thing. or they come through the spiritual and personal realm with a meditation retreat or the art of feminine presence. And she ends up coming into both. So I just want to give you like what happened here, what happened there, because with the business, she showed up at our first thing and she's like, what on earth do I have to offer that could be 20 grand? Because we work with people, I'm sure you see it a lot. You need to be a boutique style business when you are leaving. You don't have the time or usually the cash flow to sell $97 things and think you're going to make your corporate back.
Right. Thank you for that.
Right. So they've got an iTicket. And we were talking about that, like $10,000, $20,000. She was like, what? No way. How can I? She just didn't even see it. So changing the mindset, her first offer out of the gate was $80,000. She sold her first contract for $80,000. And it was because we had to get her out of that contraction of mind of what is possible. And so she hit her first million in business within 2 years of working with us. So she's had an amazing, amazing journey there. And on the other side is she comes from a very traumatic childhood. She was abused pretty significantly. I would say everyone would say very significantly. So she's been dealing with just all of that and the triggers that happen when she's around family or around certain people who were her perpetrators or who didn't protect her. And after she went through our unwavering certainty and the open to receive work and really stabilizing that, she said, I'm around all of them. I go back to my old Wyoming home and I used to just be bickering with mom and doing this and do it. And it's like, it's gone. And it was such a testament to, she was doing kind of trauma work for sure and mindset work. But if until you can relax the system enough that it's not knee jerking into trigger, it's not going to shift. And I thought that was a very significant shift given her background.
Amazing story and fascinating conversation, Rachel Jane. I am so glad we're here. I'm sure this isn't going to be our last conversation. I'm sure there'll be other opportunities for us to connect. Meanwhile, if our listeners are as fascinated as I am about everything that you have to offer, how do they learn more? How do they stay in touch with you? Is there something that you can offer them or a link that we can put in our show notes for them to take this further?
Absolutely. I think there's two great places to start, theawakenedschool.com. And you'll see that there's a way to register as a free member. And that way you will get all of our free masterclasses during the year, which we do a ton on different subjects, a complimentary session with my right-hand woman who's been doing this work for a long time. If you want some personal work, there's a lot there. So you can just look around and kind of, you know, try some things in the next few months with us that's free. And the other thing that I want to point everyone to is my mini retreat that people can do at home. It's just a few hours on unwavering stillness and this unshakable inner peace. If that's sparked your interest of not just doing the mindset work and the personal work, but really going into stabilizing in yourself a way where you're not triggered by your business and clients and yourself and all of that, you can go to unwaveringstillness.com and do that retreat whenever you'd like.
I love it. Thank you so much, Rachel Jane, for spending time with us here today, for sharing your wisdom with us about how to find that unshakable inner peace. It's been such a pleasure to be in conversation with you. And it's theawakenedschool.com. Go there, look around.
School. Yep, with an ED at the end. Yep.
The Awakened School. And we'll put that link in the show notes. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Deb, for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation and hearing more about your work and your clients.
I did as well. Thank you so much. And that's it for now, my friends. More later on another episode of Life After Corporate. We'll see you real soon. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.